Let's make sure our relationship with humility and the litany of humility is healthy and holy and not actually hurtful. Hey, I'm Father Mark Mary with the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, and this is Ascension Presents. I don't want this to be controversial. It doesn't need to be controversial. We're going to talk about humility, particularly through the lens of the litany humility, a litany which I have prayed and I have freely chosen to pray here on Ascension Presents to offer it to you. The issue is not with the litany of humility. It can be some of the stuff that we bring to it. And so I'm going to kind of unpack that with you. We understand that the litany of humility is presupposing sort of like the word disordered. Like there's ways in which we can be grasping and doing things for love, doing things for attention, doing things to make sure we have a name that nobody forgets us. So we're going to conquer. So we're going to achieve. We're going to build a name for ourselves. We're going to make choices that are about us, that are self-seeking. And also, like I think the best use of the litany of humility is just understanding, okay, like I have a healthy rooted Christian anthropology, spirituality, where I know I'm actually made to be loved and loved by God, and that this is a good and healthy thing. And I think it's super important just for me to admit and be very explicit. The opening lines are Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. What is being implied by the author of the prayer and the prayer of the prayer is that we understand the interpretive key, the hermeneutic through which we understand these lines is the heart of Jesus. So why is there a risk with the litany of humility? Why have this conversation? There's these parts of this prayer of like asking to be freed from the desire to be loved, to be approved, a fear, like deliver me from the fear of being forgotten. It's dangerous because to be loved is actually a human need. It's a foundational human need. You and I are made to be loved. And part of the ways in which love is communicated or experienced is through people choosing us. You know, people not forgetting us, people knowing our name, knowing our stories. Like we are made, and it's part of God's plan for us to be loved and to experience being loved through the body, through life experiences, ultimately finding its perfection and fullness in the particular love that God has for us. So here's where it's dangerous, particularly of concern for me, is that this is kind of a human thing. Is that perhaps you've experienced in your life or are experiencing in your life not being loved. You feel like you've been forgotten. No one's reaching out to you. No one's choosing you. No one is entrusting anything to you. And this hurts. And there's part of you that feel that like is aware of, I want to be loved. I want to be chosen. I want to be remembered. I want to be celebrated. I want to be pursued, etc. I want people to see and to recognize and know that I'm good. And it's not happening. And you experience like a hurt, a pain. And instead of going through life with this open wound, there's this way in which we subconsciously, generally, like we can close that door and put a wall up. You go about life and we create this worldview. It's like, I don't need that. That's not important. It doesn't matter to me if anyone cares about my opinion. It doesn't matter to me if anyone loves me. It doesn't matter if anyone says like a word of affirmation to me or chooses me or invites me somewhere. Like that's not important. So this is just something that we can do is we close that part of our heart. We numb that part of our heart because that's easier than going about with like this open wound of I want this thing that I'm not getting. The particular danger I think of sort of a misapplied spirituality, a misapplied understanding of humility, which can happen, is that now I can spiritualize this movement. I can give, say that this is actually a Christian thing or a God thing, a holy thing, a saintly thing to seal up that part of my heart because I need to only be loved by God alone, who sees what is done in, you know, secret. I don't need to be loved by anyone else. I'm not going to seek to be loved by anyone. And what we're really doing, right, is instead of like allowing this ache, this hurt, this wound, this cry, this desire to live, even though it hurts, like we're going to seal it, we're going to cover it, we're going to self-protect there, we're going to spiritually sort of give it some authority. And that's just not healthy, and that's not holy, and that's not Christian. The life we're meant to live is the life that Christ lives, right? And Christ reveals to us that his heart is the sacred heart, this wounded heart that is not walled. And it hurts and it's painful. And in the heart of Jesus, though, it remains vulnerable. But it doesn't deny itself. It remains true as well. It's like, yes, I am made to be loved. I am made to love and to be loved. And when I'm not experiencing that, I'm not going to respond by saying, I don't need that. I just want to be careful of that, careful of us doing something that's unhealthy as a defense mechanism in the name of spirituality, or kind of hijacking or misapplying spirituality, particularly humility, and closing off and self-protecting. Because then what happens is our relationship with God becomes like, I don't need to be loved by God. I don't need to be loved by anyone. It's pure duty. And it becomes very sort of servant master. I'm going to do the things. I'm going to offer the worship. I'm going to check the boxes. And whether or not like I experience any love from the Father, like that's not important. I don't need to be loved. Deliver me, Jesus, from the desire of being loved. And that's just not what Jesus does. If the model of our life continues to be Jesus, we just have to be careful that we need to keep our heart open. We need to allow, if you will, these healthy human desires to continue to desire, even though they may hurt when they're unfulfilled, with confidence that if we keep these in relationship with the Lord, He will ultimately fulfill it. We don't respond to the hurt and the pain and the ache by closing up, but like Jesus, remain vulnerable, remain open, remain given, remain fully alive. That heart remains like beating, or remains on fire. But we understand that, yeah, you know what? This hurts. This hurts, and Jesus gets it. And so I think as we kind of go about life and we get hurt and we get beat up, again, we can find someone to be in it with us, like in Jesus, and we can find hope and encouragement, and also a purification of any maybe disordered attachment to some of these things that we might have. And so the hermeneutic continues to be what the Litany of Humility says at the beginning, the heart of Jesus, the heart of Jesus. So let our humility be modeled after, right? The heart of Jesus. Let our praying of the Litany of Humility be with the fullness of the truth of Jesus' own heart, which is meek and humble. But let's not sort of solve the problem by doing, if you will, permanent damage to our hearts and numbing it and closing the wall and calling it humility, because that's just not true. Therefore, it's not authentically humble. All right. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. All right. God bless y'all. See you again next week. Remember, we are pilgrims on this earth. Somos peregrinos, poco a poco, little by little. Vamos a llegar. We're going to make it. Bye.